your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Welcome everybody to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super excited to be here with the almighty brother O, Orin Harris. I wanted to call him a humble giant and an amazing man.
Thank you.
Because I've been so inspired by like connecting with this amazing individual. We're here in Tulum. And I have to say, when I met this man, the ability for him to use his words in such an elaborate way, but embodying them was something that for me was a really important reflection that I wanted to really take on myself. So I wanted to really bring today to you guys an amazing person, somebody that is doing a lot of brilliant and amazing things in the world. He's inspired me to really forecast more of my ability to use humility as an important role in leading with love. And I really want to just introduce Mr. Orin Harris. Welcome, brother.
Thank you, man. Awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you,
bro. I'm so excited this worked out. Perfect timing.
I know, right? Everything. We're here in Tulum. Like, it's amazing.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
The beach is right there, and we're just like, so much to be grateful for, brother.
Yeah. I'm excited, too, because, like, when you meet someone and feel a connection, to me, the feeling in the moment is kind of like a preview of what is to unfold that we don't exactly know from this perspective. So I'm excited to dive in with you and to...
Dude, you literally just spoke something to me right now that like I talked about like today. I wrote something on my Instagram, and it was along the lines of like leaning into the unknown. How yes. like back in the day, I remember being attached to security, but like seeking and wanting adventure and spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
Yeah. There you go. I told you. Yeah. and really, like, it's so fascinating because this is exactly what we do right now. Like, we give ourselves the ability to be spontaneous and like express.
Yeah.
But before we go there, do you want to just share with the amazing community what, you know, a little bit about yourself, you know, where you've come from, what you're up to nowadays, and where you're headed after this, because that sounds exciting.
Yeah, for sure, man. So my name's Orin Harris. My nickname is O. O is also a symbol of my brand. It represents unity, oneness, integration, heaven on earth. And first and foremost, I love love. I love people, I love life, and I've also discovered that love is the key, the master key to pretty much everything, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the key, it's not only our true nature and what it is that we're all seeking in one way or another, but it's also the key to unlocking our infinite potential, our divine potential, which I would categorize as slightly different than our human potential. Mm-hmm. And so from that, I love to help people awaken to their true self and express their highest potential, give their gifts in the fullest way possible in only a way that they can do. And that, you know, all the ways that I do that, working with leaders and high performers as a coach or as a spiritual teacher or as an artist or as a healer or whatever,
a rapper,
right? These are all things that were revealed to me. I wasn't groomed for them. I wasn't pursuing them. I wasn't imagining or envisioning that I'd be doing anything that I'm doing today. And so through the catalyst of life and my own experiences, which I can get into here in a moment, that has led me to this moment and what it is that I'm doing today. So
excited to dive in.
Yeah, let's dive in.
Yeah, bro, because I think that that's when it comes to experience, and you know, I always talk about experiences like our X factors, right? Uh-huh. And that our Y factors are contributing to the big purpose, the big Y. So So it's like our X equals Y, right? So for us, for me, I find that everything that we've really experienced in life, or everything that I've experienced in life, has allowed me to contribute more to my purpose, to my desire, to my hunger, to my growth, to my vision, to my mission. Mm-hmm. And so if you could kind of take us back a little bit to maybe some key experiences in your own life maybe have made you understand that tweak. Because I know that like you mentioned some pretty rad stuff to me one-on-one, mm-hmm. but like, if anybody here is really can resonate with, you know, having these experiences themselves, it's important for them to discern and understand that these are like little tools that are showing up for you in your life that are sharing. And it's like the divine is showing up, or the universe is showing up to say, listen, this is your why. This is why you got to like step into it. You got to like create the courage. So what was it? What were some of these points that maybe showed up and you're like, I gotta step into it, and I gotta just own it, and I gotta just run with it?
Yeah, for sure. So, first of all, the first person I thought of was my mom. Mm. My mom influenced my life really deeply in that she allowed me to stay curious, right? So I'm just gonna bookmark that. And so I've retained my natural ability, like any child or anybody in their innocence, to ask great questions. And so, you know, the beginning of my kind of conscious spiritual journey, where I was consciously giving my attention towards learning, growing, developing, spiritually, you know, personal development, empowerment, all these different things, came really as a result of me asking deep questions at key kind of phases of my life. So, back before I went to college, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. Not that I have ever grown up. All right, I would say, actually, I'll speak to that for a second, is that I've grown up in the sense that I've gained a lot of life experience and wisdom, and I feel like wisdom is most powerful when it's integrated and it returns back to innocence. Mm. So in that sense, I've also grown that. Down, I've grown up.
Yeah.
Integrated lessons and wisdom, and I keep doing that, but they integrate back into the open-hearted innocence, which is then it merges with our childlike nature, which is where we're naturally humble and open and curious, even though we've accumulated wisdom and we continue to. So anyway, when I went to college, I tried a bunch of different majors. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I settled with teaching and coaching, one, because I knew I loved people and I knew I loved sports. Yeah. But I didn't even, that wasn't even something that I was sure I wanted to do. And I started doing that, and it actually went really well. I enjoyed teaching. My classes were going really well. My sports teams, I won a couple of championships. And I did that for 4 years, and it's somewhere in that period of time, I started being consumed by thoughts in the background of my mind of like, you know, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? Is this my deepest purpose? You know, what do I really want to do with my life? And so I took a leap of faith and got out of teaching and coaching when it was actually on the rise. Like everything was going great and just getting better and better, because I imagined myself at the end of my life sitting around with my buddies, maybe playing cards or dominoes and reflecting on my life. And I had this image and this scene come into my mind of being in regret. This energy of like, what if, or I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have tried to go for that dream. I wish I would have attempted this passion. I wish, and that both scared me and inspired me at the same time. And it was enough for me to take a leap of faith without a real plan. And one of the things that I got into, this is just something I was interested, was acting. And then I didn't want to be a starving artist, and so I kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit. I grew up around entrepreneurs, and so eventually I wound up starting a business so that I could pursue my acting. Yeah. Anyway, so that started going well. Got into that just through pure passion and charisma and just determination and will, started being pretty successful in that. And then I met this lady who was an entrepreneur, and I asked her, I said, what do you attribute your success to? And she listed a bunch of the typical things, hard work, focus, having a great team. She said, but most of all, my coach. And I'd been sports coaching, and I was like, coach, what do you mean? Tell me more. And she says, I have a life coach. And I'd heard of that at the time, but it wasn't as popular as it is now. And anyway, she said, you should go see him and experience what it is. So I did that, had a session with him, had a revelation, a breakthrough about myself, which I felt like I knew myself pretty good at that time. And when I had that breakthrough, the same thing that happened when I had left teaching and coaching, when I was reflecting, what am I really here for? I dove back into that exploration again at a deeper level. Mm. I was like, okay, my business is starting to go good. Acting thing is starting to go good. You know, I'm like feeling on top of the world, but something felt like it was missing. And I was like, what am I really, really here for? What is it that only I can do? What was I put here for? And after I had that session with that coach, I had a revelation. I was like, I'm like this coach guy. Yeah. And I always have been. Even when I had my company, talking to customers, they would be talking to me about their relationships or their business. Mm. And so that was revealed to me, and I realized that was a direct expression of that. So I literally claimed that, meaning, like I said, I am that. And that's how I got into coaching. Fast forward, I kind of repeated my strategy. I interviewed or had lunch with a couple of successful coaches, and they said, if you're a great speaker, that's a great way to build your coaching practice. Mm. So I went to Toastmasters, yep. Big public speaking organization. They teach you how to speak and master and hone the art of speaking. And I wrote out this talk, my icebreaker, the first talk. It's called Who Am I? Which later proved to be very prophetic. I just channeled this talk, and I was practicing it. I was walking around my apartment and videoing myself, and I was like, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? You know, just stuff I had seen before. And I was getting anxious and nervous, and I wasn't even on stage yet. And I literally thought to myself, I was like, I don't know about this speaking thing, but I'm going to go do this icebreaker, this first talk, get it over with, and maybe continue with coaching. Long story short, oh, and I also said something that I don't even know what influenced this, but I was like, I'm not going to go try to do a good talk. I'm going to go up there, be myself, speak from my heart, and that's what will be successful to me. Mm. So I let go of all the mechanics and inflections, and which I hadn't really learned much at that point anyway, because I only went to one meeting. Anyway, so I go up there on the day of my talk. I look at the audience and I start and I say, who am I? If you'd have asked me that a few years ago, I'd have said, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, but is that really who I am? I go on with the talk. It's over. I get a standing ovation. And I was so present, but I was kind of like witnessing at the same time, or like my mind was quiet in the background, like what just happened here? Because I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, can I curse on this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. Of course.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, these people don't know. I was walking around my apartment sweating, and I was like, fuck it. I don't know about the speaking thing. And now I'm getting a standing ovation. Everybody's speaking to me and looking at me like I'm a genius or something. And so this was the second revelation point, because what happened is after that meeting, when people were like, wow, that was amazing, inspiring, made me cry, best icebreaker I've ever heard, I was taking it in as best I could, but I was still like, what happened? And what I realized, the first answer to that question I got was, at the end of the day, everybody just wants to be themselves and feel good about it. And because I was willing to bare my heart and my soul, I was speaking to people's hearts. I was speaking to people's spirit. It wasn't the words that I said, it was where I was coming from. And then I was like, well, if that's speaking, I can do that. I am that. That's how I started speaking. Fast forward, or at the same time, so now I've discovered a new purpose. I'm like, I'm coaching and I'm speaking. I'm in this transition.
And I'm in my heart.
And I'm like, wanted to keep exploring that. I realized that what I experienced in the speaking was similar to what I had experienced in sports. The athletes would call the zone. Mm. Now people call it flow or flow states. And I was like, oh, the flow. So I dove deeply into the exploration of flow. Because I realized if I could be in flow in sports, in flow in speaking, then there's got to be something to this that I can just be in flow more in every area of my life. And so that was the first speaking topic. After I said, I am a speaker now, I never went back to Toastmasters. The first thing I started speaking about was flow. While all this was happening, I was in a relationship with a woman from Arkansas, a white woman, and that is relevant to the story. otherwise, I would be like white, black, Mexican, whatever.
Yeah.
It's completely relevant to the story because her parents were racist. I was going to try to say that another way, but they
it's
were
all good. It is what it is.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Black and white. It's all good, man. Yeah.
So we were hiding our relationship from them, but then we kept falling deeper in love, and we got to this point where like we're gonna have to tell them it's worth it, like we really want to do this. And then I mean it was a big deal. And before we went to go tell them and say, you know, hey, I'm in a relationship with a black man, her dad passed away unexpectedly, and it was tragic. Like,
wow.
Tragic.
Wow.
And so she was like, there's no way I could drop this on my family now. It was just like, it was a really bad situation. You know, obviously she was feeling, her dad was like her best friend. It was really, really difficult time. So then we put the sharing with them about our relationship, we put that on hold. Fast forward, she gets pregnant. And then she was like, there is no way. And I'm only going to tell my family when my dad just died that I'm with a black man and we're going to have a baby. And so that was a really difficult decision, which was ultimately her decision. And she's like, I can't do this. So then she has an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That put a strain on our relationship now because she like really wanted to live, but then was also feeling super bad and guilty. And her dad just died, and she gets pregnant again.
Wow. Wow.
And has an abortion.
Wow.
Then our relationship went like, not because we didn't love each other, but there was just so much pain and tension with all of
suffering.
That and suffering that I was in this space of having such a strong desire to pull the relationship together and to empower the relationship and for us to like really work, and in such an inability for that to work that it catalyzed the kind of spontaneous awakening. That's the only way I can really describe it. And I started to see not only the relationship, but myself and her and the relationship from a different perspective. And that was new to me, like that kind of like observer. I was like, wait a minute,
Yeah. There's
me and these thoughts and these feelings, but then there's me that's kind of like witnessing this all. And so I had a spiritual awakening. I wouldn't have called it that at the time because I wasn't pursuing it and I wasn't studying about spiritual awakenings, but I attracted the book The Power of Now, because at that point in time I was looking for solutions. And then when I heard the book, I listened to the audiobook, the way he was describing sitting on a park bench, I was like, oh, that's what happened to me. Just the awakening itself. So that happened. And then I started like attracting information and like really diving.
For those that don't know about the park bench, do you want to describe it just so they kind of get what would be a spiritual awakening based off the park bench or based off of your own experiences, like really, like
yeah,
standing apart, like, because I just want to really get it clear because it's really important how we're able to like discern that for ourselves and others.
For sure. I think the word spiritual awakening is not as important as the nature of what happened.
Yeah.
It's the realization that this body and the thoughts that I think and whatever I call I, myself,
yeah,
is part of me. But who or what is it that is observing or listening to the voice in my head and the thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
That perspective is very eye-opening if one has not had that. perspective before, like, wait a minute, there's the thoughts and then there's the one that's watching them. Who or what is that?
Yeah.
Because how could I, the extent of me, be my thoughts and all the things that I'm thinking if I can also see my thoughts?
Yeah.
If I can also observe them and view them. And so I realized that I wasn't my thoughts, and that this structure of what
like,
I was calling.
Wow, like, yeah, that holy was, cow.
Yeah, that was a revelation.
Yep.
And at the same time, I realized that my beliefs, a lot of the beliefs that I had about myself, about the world, about reality, about, were not truth. I realized the difference between a belief and truth, and that the beliefs that I had, many of them I just assumed, adopted, absorbed, accumulated, because people were like, well, this
and
is...
And didn't ask is, the questions.
And didn't ask
like the, you said originally.
And didn't ask the questions. And so that was shocking and liberating at the same time too, because I was like, wow, I don't know really who I am, because a lot of who I thought I was my mind and also all the beliefs.
And the stories.
And the stories. And I'm like, that's not me. And so... Who am I beyond all of these beliefs? And I realized what beliefs were, and that beliefs, in a sense, can pacify us with the illusion that this is what we are, or to try to create a sense of security. So I really wanted to know, or I was being shown, who am I beyond all of that? And that is, I mean, several major chapters.
Huge.
Of then. So then when I started speaking and coaching, eventually, I noticed that the people in my audience were like visionaries and entrepreneurs and
world changers, the right people,
and I was attracting all these types of people.
So now today, those are the people that you actually serve and mentor.
Right.
And that's really like that's been now the mission, to like really help them amplify their message.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, that's correct. I was just thinking of another, because you were talking about key chapters, another key chapter in that realization was that people pleasing was something, it was like a disease almost, like an airborne virus, and almost everybody had it. And I realized that people pleasing, however harmless or innocent it might be, is an attempt to gain love, which we can't gain or lose love because we are love. I realized that seeking approval and validation from other people is an endless, unwinnable game. And so, that was another key point where I was like, you know what? I'm opting out of that. I'd rather betray, this actually came to me, I'd rather betray the world than betray my own soul. I'd rather betray the world than betray my own heart. And what that means is not betray like in a negative sense, but I'd rather live my authentic heart's truth and be courageous enough to do that and have people misunderstand, misperceive me, judge me, project me. I'd rather that happen than the alternative is to people please and to fake and kind of manipulate my energy and my being to try to get someone to connect with me, but then feel empty, alone, void, and like inside. And so that was another major revelation and devotion. I was like, I'm devoted, and in the process of letting go of people pleasing and devoting to my authentic self, that's when I discovered self-love. Not as a concept, but I was just like, wow, I'm gaining more trust in myself. It was hard to move through that, you know, judgment and projections and like the resistance to that, but I kept burning in the fire of that and being my authentic self. And what I discovered was, and I started hearing about like self-love, but I was like, oh wow, this is an actionable form of self-love because I respect myself more. I trust myself more. I got me. And then I got a hold of love, then that, you know, along with the flow and along with the awakening, then I was like, I started to realize that love is everything and love is the master key. So then I devoted myself to love. And devotion to me is like an unstoppable commitment. It's not perfect, meaning like you don't make mistakes, but it's perfect in the sense that I gave myself to love, which is the same as giving myself to the divine in me. And so I stumble, trip, fall, mess up, all of the things. I'm like, I'm going in one direction. It's towards love. That's it. That's the energy of devotion. It's something you're willing to die for. Die like physically, but die like emotionally. Emotional deaths are like feeling abandoned, feeling judged, feeling rejected. But the willingness to like keep showing up, I devoted myself to love. And then that only accentuated everything and kept expanding my awareness and my consciousness. Wow. And only enhanced and continues to enhance everything.
Wow. Thank you. Like, there's so much resonance here in the stories that you're saying, just like in my own experience as you're sharing them. And regret, going back to regret, was probably one of the most profound things that really had allowed me to step into anything that's scary. But being in this essence of pouring your heart out, ongoing, regularly, over and over again, no matter what, no matter how many times somebody has like hurt you or maybe taken that and used it, right, or manipulated it. It's like, let's keep showing up. It's because that has no reflection of me right now, and that's okay. Like, and maybe like not even hurting us, but like taking that and not allowing it to hurt us, let's put it that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And really allowing it to fuel and recognize, listen, this is just another opportunity, another lesson to show that it is here in our hearts, that if we stay, we allow ourselves to continue to evolve, to thrive, to grow. And obviously it happened for you because you've done it multiple different chapters
like
in your
life.
It's
like death and rebirth. Yeah. Kind of, you know what
and
I mean?
These different layers we keep unpeeling back and back and back. So that to me is a byproduct of like resilience, right? So
totally.
You know, it's like how can we continue to be resilient in our lifestyles, in our experiences, in our journeys, in our visions, in the way that we show up, so that we can continue to be willing enough to push past each step and push past the veil, so to speak, right?
Right.
And come out onto the other side. And that we're probably going to have a few more steps ahead of us, right? Like moving forward, right?
Right, always.
So I think that that's like, it's a common thread that I get, I'm privileged to hear that, like, you know, it's never an easy road. It's always going to be, you know, a constant test that we get to experience, but it's almost also like giving up the need for controlling it, right? Like it's giving the ability to flow, to allow to us to surrender to the unknown.
Totally. I when you say resiliency, and I was just feeling like if I were to say like my resiliency dojo or what has developed the most resiliency in me, it has been this energy of devotion, which the energy of devotion, like I said, is something you're willing to die for, whether it's your kids or love or your mission, but truly something. Because what happens is when you have the energy of devotion and then you're willing to you've given yourself to the process of death and rebirth by virtue of that, and it's that devotion that has resiliency built into it. It has, you know, resourcefulness built into it. So for me, it's been awakening the quality of devotion that has had me be so resilient that I don't even necessarily think I'm being resilient. I'm just like, I'm just like available.
I'm
like,
this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm being. This is how I'm showing up.
This is how I'm showing up. And this is what's being called forth. And I'm giving myself to it. Whether I know how, whether it's scary, I'm just giving myself to it. But that, as you say that, I'm like, oh, that's the quality of resilience. Like resiliency is built into that.
So what's something now that you feel that you're being resilient through right now to like push yourself through? Is there something currently?
Yeah, my relationship is in a transition, mm-hmm. and like a beautiful transition. We kind of outgrew the previous container like on a soul level, and so we've consciously are expanding and taking some space. And I'm remembering one moment in particular where that quality of resiliency was like activated in me, and it was she had called me and we were on a phone call. She said, let's have a phone call and connect. She's in Costa Rica, and I said, awesome. I said, I only have a short period of time because I'm going out to dinner, into this concert, the one where I was sitting next to you,
the Eduardo Castillo.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
It was amazing.
And when I was getting ready to get off the phone, she was like really struggling at the moment, like just having a hard time because she's going through her own kind of death rebirth process. Yeah. And I was supporting her, and everything in her was like, don't go. Like, I really, really need you right now. And everything in me was like, I'm supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And that those two things existing simultaneously, really, there's a quality of resiliency in that for me, you know, because I decided to go the next day. And I mean, I expressed to her that I was going to leave with compassion and with love, but also with clarity, yeah, right? And to leave her in the perception that I'm leaving her, but in my inner knowing that she's actually okay, yeah, that she's abundant, that she's resilient, that she has other support that she can access, that she doesn't truly. That was a tough decision to make, but that to me is what integrity is as well. And so I did. I went to the event. It was amazing. Well, you know, I sat next to you.
Of course, it was so good.
It was epic.
It was so good.
And the next day, I wound up speaking with her, and she thanked me. She was like, "Thank you so much for not coming into agreement." She's like, "You were right," and all, you know, the amazing transformation and support that she received, the experience that she had as a result of me not showing up in what the part of her that was afraid was like, this is what love looks like right now. Love looks like you showing up for me right now. It's staying here. But love is like, no, love looks like going to the party. And that ability to truly love, even if somebody were to hate me, she wasn't like hating me, but she was definitely like, you know, wow, I feel like you're leaving me right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But to still be in integrity to love, and to know that is the greatest expression of love in a moment that looks like it's not, that was powerful. And I was not attached to it working out positively in her experience.
But you were centered in your own integrity. So like, that's a huge, I think that speaks to the fact of, you know, how much more can we actually provide lessons to ourselves and others if we are always in alignment, always in integrity.
Right.
Right. So how, like, you know, it may not be like that in the current moment. It may not seem that way. But as long as we are, at the end of the day, making sure we're in alignment, we're allowing ourselves to really be in, and integrity is such a powerful component to like providing clarity for ourselves. Like, no, like, this is what I need to do. I need to go to the concert. But And you might be upset, and you might be pissed, and you might never forgive me or whatever.
Right.
But then trusting that because I'm in integrity, that this is just the proper way of allowing it. Because you could have pleased her. You could have like stepped in there and
easily,
because
I didn't. I didn't need to go to the concert. Yeah. I didn't have to go to the concert. I'm not in lack. There's plenty of amazing events. It wasn't even about that. Like, I really wanted to go. That's true. But everything in me was like, if I stay here under the guise of this is what love would do, so that she knows I care about her, so that she has support, even though I know something different, then it's not gonna work out good. So I didn't.
Because then there's gonna hold resentment and you know, like.
And ironically, like, even when it comes to masculine and feminine, on some unconscious level, she wouldn't trust me as much.
Yeah, true. So do you think that might be something that like happens a lot? Whereas,
for sure,
like, you know, this level of integrity in relationships, whether it's, you know, a romantic relationship or friendships, that people stay out of alignment, or they don't, because they want to please their friends or please their partner or please, you know, their beloved, because
there's an
expectation from the other person.
It's
right?
It's a distortion of love, because maybe the intention in wanting to please is a pure intention. But it's taking love and distorting it. And if you're saying, well, this is what love looks like, but it's actually coming from fear, whether you're conscious of it or not, and lack, then it's not actually love anyway. So even if you do it and you take the action and you call it love, if it's coming from fear or lack, then it's actually not love. Even if it looks like on the surface, whew, oh, yes, this is love. And so, you know, that's quite common in relationships.
Yeah.
In all human relationships, like what we're actually calling love versus what love is. Like, you have to be fucking fearless sometimes to actually love. Love takes courage because it's selfless, right?
Vulnerable.
And so, yeah, it's very common.
I, when you're talking about that and like really, it resonated with my ex-girlfriend. And there would be times where I would be out of integrity and I would like, you know, kind of like want to please her and support her. And although it may have not served me, I wanted to, and it, because of that, that's exactly what happened. Our relationship kind of deteriorated, and she's still an amazing human, and we still talk, and we're still, but like, there was a moment where I think that there was a little bit like lack of trust in me, because I ended up, you know, just kind of like pleasing that whole experience, and it happened so that, you know, I ended up kind of stepping away and really like recentering myself, and it allowed me to really understand, hold on, like as the observer, what was I showing up as? Was I really showing up as like my sovereign? Was I showing up as just like, you know, some prince that like was there hanging out, you know, wanting to connect? And it allowed me now to really comprehend how important as a masculine it is to actually still be able to love with love and compassion, and give that like highest form of love of which I believe is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And do it in a way that is like strong and purposeful and intentional, right? Because if we're doing things for others and we put ourselves second, I feel, and it's not about being selfish, it's about being truthful, it's about being in integrity, it's about being aligned.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that really resonated, because I know that, like, I've done it, and it was a pattern that I think I've done multiple times in different relationships,
right.
Because I would always put my beloved first, you know, and not only because like I've wanted, you know, this is my queen, I want to look after her, like take care of her, right?
The intention's good.
The intention is good, yes. All but right. Like for me, it was just like, but am I being aligned to what I need to do, or do I need to run the business? Like, you know, I would like, you know, get a little bit sidetracked on business, or like, because I would put her first.
Yeah, and I would say to take it even deeper than that, not deeper, but like getting sidetracked on the business. Because you are somebody who is on purpose, then when you get sidetracked on your business, you're getting sidetracked on your purpose.
Uh-huh.
And your purpose is like your lifeline to source. It is the source of your passion and of your power,
yeah.
And in that sense. Yeah. And so it's like, if you start cutting that to try to put more power into the relationship, then you're
putting killing less the life power. Force. Yeah.
Right. So then there's less power flowing into the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it
this
felt.
Is great.
That's how it this felt, bro. Like, I felt like lost and confused. Like I swear it was so funny, because I was like, it's so funny because like Julian, our friend that's here, he's like, man, when I met you, you seemed confused. It was so funny. And then when he met me here again in Tulum, he's like, wow, like you're a fucking different human. Like, and that's exactly why, because I was like, I was allowing, like you said, that life force against me, right? So I think that that's really important, and really identifying that in a relationship, whichever one you're in.
Right. And so, speaking of balance, Eric, balance. I find that if you take what we're saying, then there's some people that are out of balance in terms of they're trying to put too much into the relationship at the expense of their purpose. And then there's other people that are, you know, have a kind of lack around their purpose, and it throws them out of balance on their relationship.
Mm.
Meaning there's more love and attention trying to pour into the relationship. But the simplicity of it is to stay true. Then that's where the balance can actually happen in terms of how that manifests and how your attention is flowing, you know, in your purpose and also in your relationship and your family.
Yeah.
you know, but I see that kind of
how do you stay
out of balance?
How do you stay in balance?
Staying true to my spirit. It's the simplest point. It's the highest intelligence that takes care of everything. And when you go to simplicity, when you go to energies like truth or love, then because they are in harmony with all of life, basically, when we're in harmony with our true nature, which is love, then we are in harmony and with our higher self and with the universe, and we're also in harmony with everyone else's higher self and the universe. Then any action or directive that comes out of that almost effortlessly can harmonize perfectly and balance itself with everything and everyone else. Mm-hmm. As soon as we get into fear or lack or control, then even if we try to create balance, then we're actually perpetuating an imbalance. And so it's not as effective and may not even work if we're trying to create balance from our ego structure, because then we're like looking at, oh, I've got, you know, whatever, 24 hours in a day, and I've got my social life, my family, my relationship, and I'm trying to balance it. So there's a practical aspect of balance. But for me, like, I let that flow from the higher intelligence. It's the simplest point that helps almost like organize everything else in terms of priorities of where I'm putting my time and attention. And I'm willing to follow that even if it doesn't look balanced. Like when I was on the phone with my girl, I was like, okay, you could arguably say, oh wow, the relationship needs attention right now and I have a party. I should balance it, like this needs more attention. I'm like, well, if I just look at it on the surface, then I'm looking at it logically. But in order to try to find the balance point of,
it's
like, okay,
flowing.
I'm like, oh, okay, I should go to the party and I should go now. So then that's keeping everything in a balance.
And component of faith too, like I hear what I'm hearing, right? Like faith is such a big understanding too of like, she's going to learn from this as well, right?
Yeah, the faith or trust is required because that's what gets you out of the limited perspective of the persona, the self. The self is like, well, this is what I can see. Yeah. I can see that she needs me. I can see that I have this much time, this much energy. But that's just a fraction of reality.
What's going on?
And so trust actually expands us out of the potentially limiting confines of only what we can see. And so then we have an inner knowing, even if we can't explain it, if we don't exactly know why it's going to work out better, then trust is what gives us access to that higher intelligence. And like I said, sometimes we don't know how it's going to work out, but then that's the exercise of trust.
That's the beauty of it. That's where the magic happens.
Right. And that's why, like, I was truly, when I made that decision, you know, even though it was a little bit hard, I trusted. And so I wasn't attached to her saying anything positive to me, but she actually had a very positive experience. I was like, thank you. You know, that would not have happened had I not trusted. But I had to trust because the surface appearance was like, this looks like a bad decision. That's all I could see. It's like, this looks like a bad decision. And that's all I can see. But I can see more. And so that's where trust gives you access to that other point of view.
I love it. By the way, because you're so in flow and you literally are making these poems come up as you're speaking. So now that you're in flow, and like, you're always in flow, but like, so we did a rap exercise.
Oh, that's right.
I would love it if you did a little flow, whatever you wanted to share right now. I'm putting you on the spot, but you're like flow, so it's not really a spot.
All right. So here's what happens when I get put on the spot. My mind's like ice, but my heart's always hot, which means if I keep it slow and steady, then I am always ready to embrace the full experience of this moment. If I let go and own it and don't try to control, then I get out of my mind and in tune with my soul and in tune with the entire universe. This is harmony. This is the symphony of unity expressing itself as you and me. Into me, I look into you, I see infinity. I see your divinity. I see your masculinity. I see pure humility arising. integrating. I see you going into greater and greater versions of you as you're elevating, as we're sitting here co-creating, as you're listening. It appears to be that is me flowing poetry, but this sea is a co-creation because your listening is drawing out of me. It's making my soul want to shout to thee.
Wow, bro.
Right.
You're amazing. Like, thank you, first of all, for all these amazing words, because I love it. I wasn't expecting, but listen, bro, like, do you feel that people, like, that type of creativity is within them and able for them to tap into?
100%.
Because that was super creative, just on the fly. Beautiful, and I'm so happy we have that recorded.
Yeah.
Because it's gorgeous, but like...
100%. I would say, like, just to speak to people's potential perceptions here, on one hand, you could say we have, like, soul archetypes, right? And unique soul archetypes, and then within that, we have unique personality structures, unique genetics, and so you could arguably say some people are more inclined to express creatively, or what we say is creative, but the truth is creativity is life. The truth is we are all actually creative because we're all creators. And so I haven't always been like, oh, just do a poem on the spot. At one point in time, I was like, I wonder if I could write a poem. And now I'm like on the spot with zero thought, right? With no mind tuned into the divine, I'm just spitting line after line. Yep. But you see, this isn't arising from my mind. It's coming up out of the mystery of the moment, not the history. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying that is a natural expression of creativity. If I were to break down the alchemy, I would say it's me trusting this moment. It's me not being in an identity of, oh, are people gonna like me or not gonna like me? It's all of these things in our subconscious that I've incrementally or quantumly dissolved from my being that are allowing me to be in that natural space of creativity, that natural space of trust. So trusting, surrender, I've been in the dojo, and so it allows me to just be present. Mm. And so then time slows down because I'm not in the pressure of mind. Oh, I need to say something. It needs to rhyme. This needs to be impactful. Because all the distortion and noise is not there, then I'm just present. And when you're present, it's like there's so many things. If you have no idea about, if I'm not projecting an idea of creativity or being a poet onto the moment, then there's so many things happening in this moment.
Yeah.
You know, the look in your eyes, the inflection, what I'm feeling, the wind, the breeze, the clean. So,
yeah.
And if you're not judging
or thinking,
yourself yeah. or thinking it's supposed to be this way or that way, then anybody who finds themselves in that space, however they do, is going to be in the experience of being more creative, perhaps even than they thought they were.
Yeah, it's like the biggest thing is like what I'm hearing is like keeping that mind silent, like right. allowing the silence to actually allow you to just kind of just go flow through it, rather than like almost coming up with how you're going to respond before a person it's like you're listening to somebody speak, but you're already waiting for them to finish to respond.
Right.
Right.
And that is a kind of innocent lack of trust.
Yeah.
And what we realize, whether you're freestyling in the moment or you're in a conversation with somebody, is the more you let go of that mind trying to get ahead and playing a chess game, the more you let go, you start to realize that if you're present in the moment, then you have what you need in the moment.
Yeah.
You actually do. You know, I'm not saying we don't need things on a practical level in life, but I'm just saying we have what we need in the moment because we're resourceful, we're present. So all this extra preparation, for the future or for like what you might say is actually not necessary. And if you're not resisting the moment, then it's like, it's just more like, okay, I don't need to respond ahead. There's only what's happening right now, right now, right now, right now. And if you're willing to like give yourself to that. And I guess the work is to kind of die into or surrender into the feelings of uncomfortability. You're like, I want to say something. Yeah. And just like, and be in that vulnerability. And that just unlocks the creativity that's already there, whether it's expressing itself artistically or just creating like the moment or letting the moment create you. And so that's what I'm saying is that that's not special to me. That's that's comes in like, all of us.
And from like, yeah, so from like, and that in all of us is like the divinity that you're talking about, that
right,
so many people maybe can't tap into or don't know that they can tap into. And I think that's, for me, has been, it's like the other day when I went to the Wim Hof training, they're like, what's your intention? My intention is to get stronger and closer to my creator, right? The divinity within myself, right? And I find that that really allows you, the closer you get to that, it allows you to be more present, allows you to be more in flow. Mm-hmm. And instead of, because you know, in the past, I would literally sit here and have a like questions. Or like, what should I ask?
Right.
You know, like, what should I ask him? Like, and it's right. Like, and I said before we got on, but, oh, like literally, that's how I used to run
right
my podcast. And I think that for us, like co-creating this has been so expansive for me to allow myself to trust. Really want to acknowledge that and thank you for that, because this is a really new experience for me that I, you know, like you said, let go of the control, let go what needs to happen and just appreciate what's right now.
Right, because when you're tuning in right now, anything I say or even just feeling the moment, you have natural impulses arising, and those might be your questions, you know what I mean? Or like that's creating the dialogue, so we don't have to create that. It's alive here in the moment, you know what I mean? And we're, you know, moment to moment, we're unfolding it.
So is that what you do a lot with like helping others that you're kind of, and where are you headed right now after this?
I'm headed to Hawaii to work with a woman who we met in our retreat, who's awesome.
Amazing.
You know, she's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. She is amazing. She's absolutely amazing. So if you're listening, Victoria, we love you.
I love you, Victoria.
So when you're going to go, like, what is it that how can you explain to everybody if they ever want to like connect with you or they want to know more about you, you know, what is it that they can do to like really get, first of all, in contact with you?
Okay.
And second of all, maybe a little bit of like what you would do with them to really serve them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no perfect formula. I guess the perfect formula is I love. And when I'm connected to love and to the divinity in me, I'm connected to that in them. And when I'm connected to that, then I can draw from a multitude of anything that's going to allow me to most serve their soul's expansion and whatever their vision or objective is that they've authentically designed for themselves, you know. And so helping people to actualize their potential, to fulfill their visions, my kind of way of doing that is this isn't explaining the way, but really we're heart, you know, we're like you say, mind, body, heart, and soul or spirit. And we are at our optimal, we are at the peak or the new peak of our potential when those things are all in alignment, right? And so, you know, there's the visions, there's the words we speak, there's the actions, right? But there's also like our heart, how open is our heart, you know, how emotionally intelligent are we? How connected are we to our intuition or spirit? So when you ramp up any or all of these areas, then the end result of that is somebody who not only knows themselves more, but is much more capable to fulfill the authentic visions of their heart and soul. You know, and I do that in a number of ways. I could say, you know, I'm a coach, I'm a healer. I don't call myself a healer, but healing happens in my presence.
I think you're a healer.
In the presence
I think he's a healer.
Okay, I'm a healer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you can see like I'm zoned in on the intention of highest service, and I both have an arsenal of wisdom I've accumulated, and at the same time I don't claim to know what will be of highest service. And because of that, that's where that openness and humility opens me up to the universe working through me in partnership with whatever I'm bringing to the table in terms of my own skills, abilities, wisdom, know-how, understanding of humans and human potential. That's awesome. And
flow,
like God working through me as me, love working through me as me, is what allows me to shape shift to the moment of whatever is going to serve that person's highest potential manifesting, that person's true soul's expansion and growth. And, you know, I work as a coach or mentor. I work with like leaders and high performers and visionary archetypes, you know, the stewards of the planet, the people who really are devoting themselves
people like
to
me.
That. People like, yeah, like, here, yeah, like this guy right here. And I also, sir, I'm living in service, you know, and how you can find me on a practical level, I'm mostly on Instagram at Oren Harris, O-R-E-N-H-A-R-I-S.
Make sure to follow this man, the wisdom that he brings, and he's going live all the time, sharing like tremendous value. So please make sure to check him out at Oren Harris,
H-A-R-R-I-S.
Oren, O-R-E-N-H-A-R-R-I-S.
Yes.
Amazing. Anywhere else?
OrenHarris.com.
Perfect.
And I'm also Oren Harris on Facebook. I haven't been very active on Facebook lately.
Yeah, we got to get you more on there.
Yeah. Get me more on Facebook.
Yeah.
And on Facebook. yeah, so that's
cool.
Who I be, what I'm up to, you know.
Beautiful, brother. I just want to, first of all, thank you.
Yeah,
genuinely, man. Thank you for taking the time and coming on here. Give me a big hug.
I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, man.
It's
my pleasure.
An absolute pleasure for having you on here. I know that it was so nice because like having like we're in Tulum doing this, you know, like we're in Tulum gorgeous. Looking at the beach, like on the deck hanging out. And to be able to do that together is really meaningful to me. And thanks for taking the time because I know like, you know, there was a fire back yesterday.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on, man.
There's a bunch of things going on, and you're busy too. So
yeah.
I just want to honor your time, bro. Thank you for it. And I honestly, I'm just grateful for the next time. I know you're leaving to Hawaii tomorrow, but...
I'll be back.
But you'll be back.
I'll be back, yeah. For sure.
Coming to Brazil?
We'll see.
We'll see.
You sparked something in me, so I'm going to say yes. We'll see the time, how the time
unfolds. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll be there.
Yeah. So I'm coming to Brazil.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's so, all. That's all.
To Brazil.
I needed to get it on camera.
He's like, I remember this. Like, you said it to the world. Yeah.
You guys, make sure to go check out Oren. Love you guys all.
Love you guys. Thanks, brother.
Yes. Bless you, bro. Much love. Ciao, guys.